Code blue, code blue, code blue. We have an emergency. It's an emergency podcast today.
All right, all right. It's better than your Adele impression from the
episode. Well, was that
good? It is an emergency pod, and we've got some breaking news, exciting stuff going on.
How'd my entrance do? Was that good or bad?
It was accurate, is my review of that entrance.
Accurate. I'll take it. That's not negative. Accurate. I'll take it.
No.
Fred,
I was thinking like a pharmaceutical commercial. You're watching on TV and it says like, are your peas single digits? You know, and then at the end it's low P. You need
there we go. That is a good one, man. I like that. Low P.
Yeah.
Mine was by far the worst. I was going to do a little scripting from Jerry Maguire, and I would say, I love you. And then you would say, you had me at hello. And then I'd say, show me the money. So, yeah, I failed. I came in last. I'm glad you guys are way more creative than me.
Wow. Yeah, we definitely agree that yours was last place.
Oh, Jesus, dude. I'm glad we did not collaborate. I don't want any part of that.
All right. Hey, I was trying to keep the hello theme going, but you did well.
I like the low P though, man, because then you could be like, you got low P, want a boost?
Need a boost.
You might have low P. Thankfully, we have the FDS High Noon Reckless P Pod Sponsor Challenge. Get those P's up.
Damn, we should have had you do the entrance, Fred, man. That was good.
Yeah, I know. You seem pretty adamant about yours and also not collaborating, so we went your way.
I thought it was just collaborating. Fair enough.
I take that back. I'm just going to accept that compliment. You're right. My intro was awesome.
Well, I want to know how you came up with this idea. I think it's a brilliant idea, and it was very, when I first read it, I was halfway paying attention, so I couldn't understand it at first, but it's a very detailed layout. I'm impressed with it.
Oh, well, thank you. So those are definitely pit boss skills coming out, right? So that's there's no question about that. There's a lot of overlapping skills there. That might be a different emergency P and all of its stuff itself. But so this one came from, since I've been just doing these reckless P's, I think I offhand made a comment that, you know, if I win a bunch of these, right, and just looking at how much I would have won on them, I was like, yeah, I'll sponsor the pod. Ha ha, funny, right? It turns out I've been doing pretty solid.
Yeah. So before we get into what they are, what's your process? I mean, like, I'm starting to think that it's not your knowledge of the football or the sport. It's looking at the odds of the bets and finding where you can maximize your money, right?
That is 100% right. It doesn't really matter. So like I lose a ton of bets. Like I lose hundreds and hundreds. And you like look like, oh, you have so many bets. But really it's like.
You're just sharing the one you win.
Well, the one I won, let's just say the one I won made me like $600. But if I looked at my slate of bets might've been like 510. They cost me 510, if you get one of them. So, but the thing is, you got to put the parlays out. You got to balance like how risky it actually is versus what the reward they're giving you is, right? So sometimes it doesn't make sense, especially live. Sometimes they'll give you these plus odds that are so high. And it's like, man, that could happen. And it's worth just throwing down like a 30 or 40 or something like that or whatever, a small, you know, less than one unit bet on it. Because I think, so I'm still trying to figure this out, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I do believe that there is an edge live. And I don't think I know it yet. I think I'm trying to get it, but like I just see all these odds are like, it'll be one team is favored, and then the underdog scores the first touchdown. And then all of a sudden it swings, but like it's the first quarter of the game. Like you still have a whole game, but the odds will then swing greatly. So then you can get like even better odds on the favorite. So you're like making a good bet on the person who's supposed to be favored anyways. Like, so I don't have a formula though. Like it's monitoring and looking and then saying something hits my eye. Like oh, that makes sense. I just kind of described a situation where, like, oh, look at how much they swing when the underdog scored first. And right. then, so then you're right. That's, one example, that's just one example. Right. That's just one example.
A good example of that was when the Dallas game, when Dalton, you realized that he couldn't get a first down and the over was so high and you guys were just like firing in every time, every chance you get betting under. And that's just something that, like, the human versus what I'm sure they have some kind of computer generating the odds, and the human element of it is, like, you can see on the field that Andy Dalton is not Dak Prescott and they can't move the ball. They're not going to be able to get that high. And the crazy part is that after that Kenny and Drake run, they almost, you know, they, one of your bets at the under would have, you know, didn't hit because of some fluke play, but.
Right. Yeah. I know. And again, like I said, that happens all the time.
Yeah. For every game. Right.
So, and remember when I said that, like, I had a ton of wins to show, and then I said I'm up like 5%.
Yeah.
So, like, 5% is not that much. It's literally 5%. It doesn't even matter what the amounts are. It just matters in the end what your percentage gains, right?
Yeah.
So, like, but I mean, here's the thing: is 5% is better than losing money,
right?
You see what I mean? Like, so it's a winning thing. And I think I can get, like, trim the fat out of all of some of these bets that I'm making that are losses. So what I'm starting to do is taking all of the bets and putting them into a spreadsheet. And then I'm going to go through and look at what details are matching, trying to see if I can find anything that matches around, like, all my losing bets, and then just try to not make those as opposed to, like, trying to get more winners. Just try to trim the fat.
Yeah. It sounds like some Beautiful Mind kind of shit going on.
It's fun, man.
Is it a spreadsheet? Or are you writing it on, like, a glass window for everyone to see outside as you're doing it?
I mean, I could make the spreadsheet public using the Google Workspace.
No, that was a reference to the Beautiful Mind movie. No, anyone? Hello?
You're on movie reference there. Yeah. that makes sense. Beautiful Mind. Yeah, we've seen Beautiful Mind. Yeah.
This is great. Just clarify how your sponsorship would work. First of all, is this an FDS consulting pivot? Where I know that you were had your own.
At no point was FDS consulting brought into this. That's not part of this.
Okay, so FDS High Noon. What's it for again?
High Noon Reckless P Pod Sponsor Challenge.
All right. Well, that is that sponsorship. If we don't hit this pot, this P that we're gonna hit this week, because when I first looked at it, I looked at win. It was like I blocked all of my football knowledge, and I just assumed we were gonna win this. If for some reason we don't win it, is this a one-time sponsorship for you, or is this gonna be a weekly thing? How's it moving forward?
Oh yeah, so I see what you're saying. How many times am I gonna funny this up?
Yeah.
I have a comment to that. You know, it's funny. I thought you were going to say that too, because when I reread it, I realized I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
You didn't have to take it today.
Okay.
But you could take it next week. But then what happens if you do take it on going forward?
Right.
Right. So then I started thinking about what would it look like, you know, going forward if I kept doing that. And it looked really close to me handing $100 a week to somebody that lives in a manor to make it sports bet. And I realized it breaks one of my cardinal rules. When there's somebody in a manor, don't just hand them money.
I agree. And that, I wanted to throw up that loophole.
One. With that said, this is one. It's we got six listeners, you know. It's a good sponsorship. You take what you get.
This is the equivalent of, like, the top podcast getting, like, a million dollar sponsorship. Like, it's unheard of. Like, a real podcast would be jealous of this what we have set up here.
Yes.
Okay. Now I have another question before we go into the details. The question is on the other side. Okay. Now say, what if we do hit? What are the plans? Because you, both of you, as the, you know, Podmen, is that what we're gonna call you? As the Podmen.
I like that. Podmen.
Are you gonna keep a ledger? Are you gonna be transparent? Are you gonna run a shadow company? Like, what are you gonna do?
I had a couple ideas.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Maybe we could get some gear, some friend of the pod gear. We could do, oh, I just lost my screen. We could do, we can upgrade our equipment so the sound quality is better.
Yeah, I like the sound of all of this.
And we can also put it toward the slush fund when we ever do get together. We can celebrate with drinks on the pod. Aaron, did you put any thought to that?
No.
Aaron was just like, how am I going to get my money? That's what I got.
No. I still didn't understand what I'm still trying to figure out, you know.
Okay, you want the details. Let's give you the details. I'm going to cop to it.
I had to Google Moneyline. I don't know what that meant. All right. So this is where
I'm great. Okay, good. So there's going to be a lot of lessons in there. But that's fantastic. I mean, I had to Google it, and by Google it, I meant like ask a buddy of mine what it meant. You know what? Like nobody's just as born knowing money lines and spreads, right?
I was considering asking on the group me what a money line meant, but I knew what I was opening myself up to. So I took it upon myself.
I would have given you a sensible answer. I would have explained what it is.
I know, Fred, I know you would have given me a sensible answer.
I think Jeff would have probably made fun of you.
There was about three other people that would have given nonsensible answers.
So wait, let me ask you a question then. Do you think that if you didn't ask what money line is, people would stop making fun of you? Do you think that's this is the switch?
No, not at all.
Jeff is going to make fun of you.
No.
Right? You might as well get the information you need.
I chose to get the information I need most efficient way possible, which was go straight to Google and get the answer and cut through all the mumbo jumbo bullshit that would
have been. And have Jeff make fun of you about something else.
Correct. I realize the making fun of is not going to stop, but this is one last thing to make fun of. But now I realize I just copped to it live.
I'm just saying if it's a constant, you need to get rid of it out of your decision making. You can subtract it from both sides of the equation. All right, let's keep moving.
Yes, definitely. Let's talk about what this the details of it. Get into it.
So the rules are simple, right? What this is, it's going to be a bet, right? And the bet itself is going to represent what we call the FDS pod sponsor payment, right? And this is the pod sponsor payment, right? It's the amount that a sponsor pays to be a sponsor, okay?
Yep.
So now the bet we place, if the bet loses, then the bet amount itself represents what the pod sponsor payment was, right? So that's it. We had sponsored this. We bet $100 and something didn't work. That's it, right? So it then becomes a $100 sponsor payment. However, now if the bet wins, just for the trouble a little bit here, so FDS has returned double the bet amount. So in this case, $100 bet is going to be so $200 back, and then the rest of the winnings would then represent the FDS PSP, pod sponsor payment, as we all know. So in this case, the actual bet itself, if on a win, would return $1,439.95. So with the return of double the amount of the wager, on a win, the pod would now have a ledger balance of $1,239.95.
Wow.
That's amazing. Cool. Moving forward, as your sponsorship challenge, could we come back to you and use our funds for you to place bets, or are we going to? Okay.
100%.
Because I would.
Yes, the answer to your question.
I still think we would have a segment where Aaron and I, I obviously have more experience than Aaron at gambling, but we would collaborate and maybe place a bet that we talk about. It would be baby steps for us. We probably pick one game. We probably wouldn't do a reckless P, but that would be kind of a segment that we do where we talk about where we're placing a bet, especially if we had huge one to start
with. I was all the way with you. I was with you on 100% of that until you said it wouldn't be reckless.
Okay.
Find someone else to mule your sports betting, Wisconsin boy. Right?
Yeah. I'm having major FOMO with all the.
I will say, okay, you know what? I was making fun of you for it, but I take it back. I'm having a blast. And I'm glad that you can't. Yeah. All right, so we'll get you in the game. All right, I'll be.
So I have. Can we amend the rules then? And that.
Yeah, but no. We cannot amend the rules.
Not, I was going to say that right, any bets that the pod makes without you have to be reckless.
Listen. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit longer because you're racing straight towards spread places all my bets for me. I got to make sure I put the filter in an appropriate spot. I'm going to need to sleep on it. We'll talk about it later.
Fred is on to you. But I do have one important question. It seems that DK has been the one more talk of the town, but we're going with FDS. Is that going to be a problem? Is there a conflict there?
So that's – I don't really understand what you mean by that because I'm not in competition with DK, right? So DK is DraftKings. I personally – play on FanDuel, but that's just because they let me in my account faster. It's like sending your driver's license or whatever. And FanDuel let me in first. DraftKings took like 3 more weeks than FanDuel, so I just jumped in on FanDuel.
No, I know. My question was more joking than for real, because I just was saying that because everyone's talking about DK and boosts and sprinkles and pounds and whatever and yada.
So I just explained what DK is. So if you just would listen, you would have gotten some new information. So try and keep up. Okay.
My bad.
So I want to talk about what's more important than Brian trying to get me to be his betting mule. I want to talk about the bet itself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's get into some actual football talk here. We're starting off with the Carolina Panthers away at the Saints, right? Crazy game. Divisional. A crazy place to play, but is it COVID? Who knows, right? Like back and forth. So many variables here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Money line, Carolina Panthers, which means the underdog Carolina Panthers, we're picking them to win the game. It doesn't matter how many points, they just have to win the game.
Revenge game. Teddy Bridgewater, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. No Michael Thomas, no fans.
I mean, I think this is a much better chance than I would have said 5 days ago. No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders, no fans. The Panthers.
They're actually allowing some fans in.
Oh, they are?
Okay. Yeah, but it's not going to be.
But it's not the same as it was.
Exactly.
I have heard like announcers and like sideline people say even the 25% is significantly more rowdy than zero fans.
That's true.
It's just going from nothing to like having some sort of presence.
But the Panthers defense is not the same defense that showed up week one that was, Swiss cheese and people were putting up points on. I think the Panthers are significantly better. I think the Saints are struggling with injuries. I think they don't have an identity without Michael Thomas out there. I think this is a close game, but I think there's a legit chance for the Panthers to pull out the win.
Yeah, they're definitely going to need some luck. I got a nice little nugget for you. Bridgewater is 14-2. I guess that doesn't really matter because it's against the spread as a road dog in his career, which means he plays well on the road. So,
and don't forget, this is Bridgewater going up against his most recent team.
That's what I started off with, that it was a revenge game for Teddy Bridgewater. He knows that defense. He's coming off of a not so good performance, and the Saints defense has been giving up a ton of. I think it's I had it written down here like 15 passing touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. So they're primed to give up give up some yardage and some touchdowns to Bridgewater, and then they're going to be missing Michael Thomas, which if he'd been playing all year long might have been a bigger deal, but they've kind of figured out how to move about without him. That's a good storyline, but I think they're going to be just fine using Kamara in the back of the game.
Fantastic. And the bet number 2, we got the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. This one is Buffalo Bills minus 11. So Buffalo Bills, again, have to win by 11. Now, here's an important thing to note. This is usually not something I like to add into my a parlay like this because it's 11 exactly. If it's 11.5 or 10.5, the reason why I like the 0.5 is better in this situation is because a push in a parlay loses the entire parlay. Ooh. Every single bet has to win. A push is, you're not okay with a push.
I always thought it made it turn into a two-team parlay.
Nope. It does not void out. A push is a loss. You would lose. I would lose this ticket if Buffalo won by exactly 11 points.
Well, that doesn't scare me because the New York Jets are one of the worst football teams of all time.
Absolute trash.
Yes.
So this is the one I'm most confident about.
That's scary because this is the one I'm most confident about too, and that's when they come in.
Yeah, I know. That's like, usually when a team is favored by a lot, things go bad. But Buffalo's rolling. They can put up points. The Jets look like, you know, a high school football team. I feel pretty good about this one.
I do too. And like preparing for this, looking, I didn't really spend that much time on this. The Jets are one of the worst teams of all time. They keep trading away players and whatever players that are worth anything anyways. So I have a feeling we're going to have all eyes on the Panthers and Saints game, and we can move on to the next game because that one's going to be a thriller too, because both those teams like to blow it in the fourth quarter. So, Fred, you want to open up that last game that the bet needs to hit?
Yeah, absolutely. Game number three. This is three and final. So we need, again, just to recap, we need the Panthers to win. We need the Bills to win by more than 11. And then finally, we have Detroit at Atlanta. We are looking for Detroit money line. So we're looking for Detroit to win the game.
Thoughts, Aaron?
This is the one that makes me most nervous. I have no faith in Detroit, and I think Atlanta looks better after they fired Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I agree with the coach thing. I think when you fire a coach, your team kind of responds the next game. But this isn't the next game. This is two games later. They have a lot of issues on defense. My only concern is Matt Patricia wants to establish the run, and the Falcons have a much better run defense than pass defense. And I hope they just let Stafford
is going to go nuts.
I hope they let him. They let him do it because they haven't been using Marvin Jones, and Marvin Jones is a above average wide receiver, and he's getting no targets. He's not a part of their game plans, it seems like. But another player that you can keep your eye on that I hope has an impact is Swift, who Atlanta for the last 4 or 5 years have always given up passing yardage to the running backs, and he showed last week that he can be a part of the passing game. If they can involve him into that, I think that can be a huge part of their offensive game plan. But again, they need to throw the ball over the field. Atlanta is the worst defense against the pass, and in the years past, Stafford has definitely been a guy that can sling the ball. But both these teams like to either build a lead and blow it in the fourth quarter. So whatever's happening in the first quarter, if the Lions are up 14-0, I'm not going to get excited. If the Falcons get off to a 14-0 lead, I'm not going to get upset because this game's going to come down to the wire, and hopefully, the Lions come out on top.
I'm looking for a big game from Stafford, a very big game. And in fact, not only do I have my own version of this outside of the one that was placed for the team for the bet, fortunately, mine only came in at like plus 1390 odds or whatever, so a little bit less of a win on my personal one. But also for Stafford, I have pretty much across the board every individual player prop bet on Stafford himself having a big game, right?
So, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for him to go over 287.5 yards, which he can do.
The only person that's stopping is Matt Patricia, because I can see him wanting to establish a run, keep the ball off of Atlanta because their defense is bad. So the bet sounds, in theory, amazing. You're going to cash in all that as long as Matt Patricia thinks outside the box and doesn't run the ball.
But the way to beat Atlanta is by throwing the ball. So hopefully he's been paying attention because that's what everybody really does.
I agree.
I feel like Patricia could say a bunch of shit and Stafford would just start fucking calling pass plays. You know, I think Stafford's the kind of guy that'd be like, all right, we're fucking going deep. Right? Like,
I sure hope so.
I don't see that as a big issue. This Patricia thing being like changing the entire game and how the game's played. I don't know. I don't see it.
I just think that he's, I mean, since he's taken over, his MO is, I want to establish the run. I want to get the run game going.
When have you ever heard a coach say they don't want to establish the run?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? It's just, and then you look, and then you look, and then it's either balanced or you pass mark, right? There's nobody wildly unbalanced to running too much. It just doesn't
I would say Mike Martz, when he's coaching the Rams, probably did not want to establish the run. I feel like that was the greatest show on turf, and they didn't establish the run. That might have been the only one.
You wanna jump forward a couple decades, or you wanna keep talking about it?
I'm just saying you just said whenever heard a coach not say they want to establish the run. I was giving an example, a nice throwback.
But to be honest, that's actually a fair point. But even still though, that ushered in the era of the passing being too dominant, not, you know.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. So I think you're kind of, but we're also kind of saying the same thing there. Yes. Right. So I'm saying is it's either going to be passing dominant or balanced, right? But everybody says every coach says they want to establish the run, but then where's the team that's 80% run? 20, it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, well, there's a few teams that are pretty run heavy in the league right now, but not many.
I don't know if I have, I wish I had a list of that percentage.
The only one that comes to mind off the top of my head would be Baltimore. They're definitely run heavy.
Can that fucking website figure this out? With all those charts and shit, those tables. Can you fucking press the right custom configuration button to get me that data? Run pass percentage for every team.
I'll get you some charts that did you guys watch the interview with Trump on Axiom with the charts he was holding?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I'll get you some charts that are those size, all right? How about that?
there's definitely some. I can dig deep and get you some numbers for that. I don't think you'd find it on our website.
Deep.
You know when you're like a normal span of like just listening or watching something that's like popcorn? It's about 30 minutes.
And that's what this was.
That's right. And it's been fantastic.
Yes.
Former commish, current commish. I love you both.
Dude, this was awesome.
I can't wait to hear your outro when I listen to this and whenever I listen to it.
Peace. Peace. Thanks, Brad. Thanks. He's gone. I love it. Aaron, we did it. We got ourselves a sponsor in the most unique, creative way. And can you imagine if this hits tomorrow? You know how much fun the football's going to be? Because those games are all going to be close. We both agree that the Jets one's going to be easy. And we both know that those other two are going to come down to it. And it's going to make football tomorrow a lot more exciting.
Tomorrow's going to be a very, very exciting day. So we should go to bed early to get some rest.
We should. I'm glad we did not do an hour and 20 minutes.
I mean, I could, but I think it's better that we don't.
I'm done. Amy was upset that I was doing another podcast. I told her it was an emergency podcast.
It definitely was an emergency. Have her listen to the intro.
It was. I love it. All right, man. Sure, we'll be talking tomorrow.
Peace.
See ya.
United segment!